So we're holding on page Chaf Vav in Megillah, about 4 or 5 lines from the bottom, middle of a very long Ois over here, which is Ois Chaf Dalet. Okay, we got up to where Haman is getting Mordechai up onto the horse. We said that Mordechai even kicked him. So now the Gemara continues. Pasuk says, "Vayikru l'fanav kacha ya'asal ish." So Haman is leading Mordechai in the street and calling out in front of him, "This should be done to the man that the king wants to honor." As he was holding the reins and going along on the Bishvila de Mosa would be on a street in the city. Bishvila de Bei Haman would be specifically the street passing by Haman's house. His daughter, who was standing on the roof, saw what's going on down below. Sabra, she thought, she thought the one riding on the horse must be her father. And she thought the one who's leading him is Mordechai. After all, Haman had gone that morning to ask Achashverosh for permission to hang Mordechai, so she figured that she jumped to conclusions and figured Achashverosh must have given permission, and now Mordechai is being degraded before he's going to be taken to be hanged. Ben Yehoyada points out that they may both have had, first of all, I guess you could say Balabatha, she's watching from the roof, so she may not be able to see their faces because she's looking downwards. But Ben Yehoyada points out that Mordechai had his head down a little bit, especially he's still in the middle of his fast, after all, and Haman certainly did, because he didn't want everybody to see his bazillion, so therefore all the more reason Shetaka couldn't see either of their faces. As far as Haman's voice, Ben Yehoyada points out, with him going all over town and yelling, Kacha Ya'asal Ish, his voice must have been hoarse enough by now that she couldn't recognize his voice. Anyway, so Shokla Atzitza de Beis Akiz. Right, kind of the Igra means she was standing on the roof. Yeah, Igra means the roof. Yeah, like the Igra Romul Beira Amitza. Yeah. So Shokla Atzitza de Beis Akiz b'Shabulay Areshi. She took a chamber pot and threw it on his head, Davu, on her father's head. You know, we always teach our kids that she threw down garbage on him, but we look in the Gemara over here. It wasn't garbage. It was something a lot worse. Eitz Yosef, by the way, brings a cute idea in this connection. The Targum on Megillah mentions, back when we learned before that Memuchan, where you had the opinion in the Gemara that Memuchan Zehaman was the one who gave the advice to get rid of Vashti, and afterwards now they're having a whole beauty contest with all the girls brought. Haman, the same daughter of Haman, he of course tried to put her forward as a candidate as well. The Eidishtim made that all of a sudden she got a terrible case of diarrhea, so they didn't want her around. So now, even years later then, she still has a chamber pot at the ready all the time, and therefore she has it immediately available now for this purpose. Dolly Eine, so Haman looked up to see who did that, Bechazia, and he saw her. Even the Chazoi da Abu Ahavi, when she saw it was her father, Nafla Igro Mesa, she fell off the roof. She fell or jumped, whatever, off the roof in shock. Mesa, and she died. Behind Udachtiv, thus the Pasuk says, Vayoshav Mordechai al Shara Melech. So it says in the Pasuk, Mordechai returned to the king's gate. Now, what does he mean? What do you mean returned? Shashav Lusato al Tanisa. He returned to his sackcloth and his fasting. Meaning, in other words, Marashah says, it didn't nothing need to say by Yoshev. It means, in other words, that he was still El Shara Melech and not in the Shara Melech, because it says earlier in the Megillah, when a person is wearing Sak Ve'efa, then he doesn't go into Shara Melech. So the fact that it says that he went El Shara Melech suggests that he still couldn't go in. Why? Because he went back to his Sak Ve'tainus. It's Yosef points out over here, we discussed earlier what the 3 days were that they were fasting. One way of looking at it is the 3 days they were fasting was Yudalib Tesvav Tesdayim. All this took place on Tesdayim, because that was the day Haman was hanged. So according to that, then Attacker was still in the middle of the 3 days, so now Mordechai goes back to finish off the fast. On the other hand, Eitz Yosef brings that another possibility that we discussed before, that the 3 days may have been Yudgimel Yudalib Tesvav. If so, then on Tesdayim now, the fast is technically already over. Why is he returning with Sakhar with Tanisai? So he says, because maybe I'll derech like you have by fasts for rain, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, that's the Shem and Masech the Tainis, where you have the Yechidim fast even when the Tzibur is not. So the same way over here, even the Tzibur is not fasting any more than 3 days, because at that point it would be Exeter Shein Reba Tzibur Yechol Mamedba, but Mordechai may have been machmer on himself to continue fasting until they get a sign, Min HaShemayim, that the Exeter has actually been cancelled. What were we going to say?
No, I said the Moach Sholis and Alev that he had, not
real. Yeah,
And now he's on the horse, 2 minutes after, he's putting his...
Yeah, yeah, that's how it is. So, and then the pasuk continues, Haman nitchap abesoi. Then the pasuk continues, Haman was pushed to his house, although v'hafui roish, he was mooning and with his head covered. Now, the word mooning doesn't suggest that, now everything that just happened to him is a reason for him to be upset and whatever, but not mooning, which suggests an actual tragedy that happened to him. So that's Ovo Albito, he was in mourning for his daughter who had just committed suicide, and he had his head covered in embarrassment, from what just happened to him, the whole thing with leading around Mordechai and having this chamber pot thrown on his head. The pasuk continues, Vayisaper Haman leZeresh Ishto v'Gomer. Then the pasuk says Haman told over to his wife Zeresh and to his friends what happened over here. And the pasuk doesn't, now before it calls them Oyhavav. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Hosam Dekori Lahu Oyhavav. In Perek Hay, when he asks them advice what to do about Mordechai, and they tell him build the gallows, it calls him Oyhavav. Here, Maishna Hosam Dekori Lahu Chacham. Why over here, when he tells them what happened, and they tell him, Inni Zera HaYehudim Mordechai, then it calls it instead Chacham. So Amar Rav Yochanan Melamed, this teaches us, Shekola Oymer Dvar Chochma, Afila Bo'ev D'Gachavim, anyone who says a matter of Chochma, even from among the Goyim, Nikra Chacham, deserves to be called a Chacham. So here, where they're telling him, Marshal explains, particularly mean, the ultimate Chochma is the Chochma of the Torah. And what they're telling him is correct, Alpi Torah, as they're going to continue telling him that if Mordechai is from one of certain Shvatim, then you, Haman, are not going to be able to defeat him. That's correct, Alpi Torah. Therefore, they deserve to be called Chachamim for coming up with that concept. Because first they didn't realize, they knew before, as we're going to explain in a second, that Mordechai was a Yid. They didn't realize what Shevet he's from. Now they're telling him, in Mizera Ayahodim, the Gemara is going to explain in a second. By the way, this connects with today's Shlosh HaParakim of Rambam. Today we have the Rambam starts talking about Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and famously he says the vort that a person of Ben Noach has to keep them because the Eivishta said so, because the Eivishta gave them through Moshe Rabbeinu, and not because he comes up with it on his own. And if he comes up with it on his own, you have two Girsois in Rambam. One is that the Rambam writes, he's not from Chassidu or Musa Olam. Then you have two different Girsois. Does the Rambam say, V'loi Mechach Mehem, he's also not one of their wise ones, because to be a wise person, he would have to be doing it for the correct reason, or is the correct Girsa Ela Mechach Mehem. However, he can still be called a wise guy for coming up with these concepts on his own. So that would fit with our Gemara over here. Kola Oimer Dvar Chochma, if he comes up with this Dvar Chochma of that we have to keep the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, he's doing it for the wrong reasons because he doesn't recognize that the Eivishta gave it through Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevertheless he can deserve to be called a Chochma for that, according to that Girsa. Okay. So they tell him, Im mizera ha-Yehudim Mordechai Goyim. So they tell him, if Mordechai is from the seed of the Jews. Now, what does that mean? Everybody knows already that he's a Jew, right from the beginning of the Megillah already. Ish Yehudi ha-Yehudim b'shushan ha-Bira. So it means, Omrulay, it means they're telling him, within the Jews themselves, there are different seeds, different descendants, where some of them you might be able to overcome, but some not. Im mishar shivti Yisrael ka'asi, if Mordechai descends from any shevet except for the ones that we're going to list, yachaltalei, then you will be able to overcome him. The im mishevet Yehuda, Menashe, Ephraim, Binyamin, ka'asi, but if he comes from any one of these four shvatim, lo yachaltalei, then you will not be able to overcome him. And why is that? Yehuda just give Yodcha b'orefeivecha. Yehuda was given a bracha by Yaakov. Your hand will be on your enemies, on the back of your enemy's neck. Oref is the back of the neck. Meaning, in other words, that Yehuda will be able to overcome and overpower his enemies. The idea being, in other words, like the enemies will be afraid and they'll run away and they'll have the backs of their necks turned towards you and you'll still be able to chase after them and defeat them. Ephraim of Binyamin and Manasseh dichtiv, you have a pasuk until him. Lifnei Ephraim of Binyamin and Manasseh oros burasecha. Before those three shvatim, we ask Hashem, arouse your strength. Ulachol ishu osalanu, and it is for you. The word lachol over here, many mefoshim on the pasuk explain, doesn't mean and go like lachol doidi, but rather it's another form of the word lachol to you, and for you, it is up to you, lishu osalanu, to save us. So the point we see that the say Hashem saving us is associated particularly with the Shvatim Ephraim, Binyamin, and Manasseh. So to begin with, when they advised them to make the gallows, so they figured that Mordechai might be from some other Shevet. Now that they see the beginning of Haman's downfall, Marshal explains, now they've second-guessed themselves and they realize, maybe after all Mordechai is from one of those four Shvatim, and in that case, then you were goner.
So you know how to learn in those days.
You know how to learn in those days, yeah. So, and they continue, they tell him, Kinofo Tipo Lofono. They tell him that, and the Rif points out, by the way, we see that Yehuda, had defeated Esav back in the day. You have famously that Choshen Ben Don stunned him by the whole thing with Yaakov going to be buried, that Esav came and tried to prevent it, and Choshen gave him a zex and then stunned him, and then Yehuda finished him off. And as far as Binyamin, we find that they're the ones that Shoal had almost wiped out Amalek, so those Shvatim have particular power against Haman and Kaman. And they continued. They told him that if this keeps up, if he is from those Shvatim, he nofel tipo lefonav, falling, you will fall in front of him. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, a Chassidish and Maisa, they tell about the Koshnitz and Magid, that one time it says that Napoleon came to his shul to ask for a bracha in his campaign in Russia. They were reading the Megillah over then. They got to this pasuk. So the Koshnitz reads, he not pull tipo lefonav. Not Paul, like Napoleon, Tipol, you were Paul. So he didn't get the bracha that he wanted. As I Zuckman Amaisa, whether it's historically true, I don't know if Napoleon was actually in Koshnitz at that time, when Purim time, but that's the way the Maisa goes. Anyway, so anyways, Kinofel Tipol Lefonav, Dorosh of Yehuda Barabi Loi, Shtei Nefilos Eru Loma. Why are they using this expression, falling, you were fall? Melamed Sha'omruloi teaches us that they were telling him, Umazu Meshulala Ofer Meshulala Kechavim. This nation, the Jewish people, is compared to the dust, and it's also compared to the stars. Train Yodin, Yodin at Ofer. When they go down, when they're going in a descending situation, they go all the way down to the dust. Ukshain Ulin, and when they go up, Ulin Lorakio, Abba Kechavim, they go all the way up to the heaven or all the way up to the stars. So the dust everybody can trample on. On the other hand, nobody can ever possibly get to the stars. So the same way, when they're on the upswing, then no nation can have any control over them. And that's, so now you see already that Mordechai is starting to dominate over Haman. And they're telling him if he is in fact from one of those four Shvatim, then it's not just a fluke. It's going to continue going that way, and he's going to go higher and higher. So that's the thing. They didn't know before that he was from one of these four Shvatim. Even now, they don't know for sure. They're saying if they had time, as it is, the Megillah is going to point out, as the Megillah points out, as the Gemara is next going to bring, that they hastened Haman, they rushed Haman to come to the palace for Esther's second party. If he had had more time, one of the things he might have done, they might have started doing some research and to find out what Shevet Mordechai is from. And then there's a lot of possibilities. Some of Foshim point out that they would have had time maybe to dismantle the gallows. Like this, you have the gallows is still standing over there when Charbonah tells Achashverosh about it, and he says, Tzluhu Olav. If he had had more time, he might have taken that down. He might have gone and asked Mordechai from Mechila. He might have done all kinds of things like this. In the end, he didn't have a chance for all of that because Eved Shnei just arranged that they came and rushed him to the party, and he had no time to carry out any of his possible plans or plots, including also he and his wise men might start plotting against the Ahasuerus to save him, whatever. So like this, he had no time for any of that in the end. So the pasuk continues, Oidim Medabrim Imai, they're still talking with him. And the king's servants came and brought him to the party. And the expression is Vayavilu Lahovias Hama. So that means Malamat Shehivu Bivahola. It means that they brought him in a rush, which Rashi says he didn't even have the time to wash off the filth that his daughter had thrown on him. So that's the point is, Marashah says, because if it, like this, the Udiyu you have, Vayyamah Malach Maharu as Haman. So why by the second time, why didn't it say Vayyamaharu as Haman or something to that effect? Why instead Vayyamhilu as Haman? It means that they brought him really, not, the word Behola means not only quickly, it also means in a panic. It means they brought him, they ordered him to come so quickly that he was in a panic. What am I going to do? So, and still he had no choice but to come. Other Mephoshim point out different angles about it. Why Vayavhilu? Why not Vayavahalu, for example, which was the normal way of saying to make him hurry up. Vayavhilu, therefore, is a form of the verb that also means to terrify him and to put him in a panic. So therefore, so it means that. Next. So they come to the party, and Achashverosh asks Esther, so what do you want? She answers, Kinim Karnu Aniva Ami, etc. She says, Ki Einat Sor Shoiva B'Nezek HaMelech. She says, the enemy, the adversary, is not even worth it for the damage of the king. Rashi explains shava means choshish. Earlier we had by Haman's accusation when he said v'lamelech in shoyva lahanicham. So Rashi had explained similarly. It's not even worth worrying about whether it's worthwhile to keep them. You shouldn't worry about it. It's not worth it. Now she's turning that word shava around on Haman and saying he's not even choshish. He's not even concerned about the damage that he's causing to the king. Now, what does that mean? She says, "Ikani baba Vashti b'kotla." Previously, he caused you to get angry at Vashti, and he caused her to get killed. Hashti ikani b'didi. Now he's trying to provoke you against me, avoid mitli, and he wants to kill me also. So, in other words, she's saying that now you know for the first time that I'm a Jewish woman. Now you should realize, therefore, that that's why is he plotting against all us Jewish people, because he wants to get rid of me the same way as he got rid of Vashti. That's part of what provoked Achashverosh's anger so much. Me, who's ever Ezahu, who would dare to start up with the queen? That he should start up with the Jews, that may be Achashverosh's mind. We said before he was a bigger Rosh than Haman, but that he should start up with the queen, that gets his attention. Next, the pasuk continues. Vayomer Hamelach Achashverosh Vayomer LaEsther Amalka. Why the Vayomer twice? And this is what the Gemara is going to answer over here. By the way, it's brought in Midrashim in various other contexts. You have different other places in Tanakh where you also have a Vayomer followed by another Vayomer, or Vaydaber followed by another Vaydaber, or whatever, without anything in between, and always there's a Midrashim. So here, Amar Rabba Lot, Amar Rabba Liezer, Rabba Bohu, B'tchila Ayde Turgamon. What happened was, previously, Achashverosh had been talking to her through an interpreter, meaning because he figured she's a nobody. I don't know what family she's from. She's not of my caliber. She's not from royal blood. So why should I talk to her directly? So he would always, like out of gaiva, only talk to her through an interpreter. Given to Omer Le Bas Malochim Anom, Shol Malka Pasina. Now she's telling him, I'm from royal blood. I descend from Shol HaMelech. Ishtoi Miyad Bahadra. Then he speaks directly to her without the interpreter. So there was actually an... Now he knows for the first time that she's Jewish. Yeah, that's part of what she told him, yeah. So now there is actually an explanation the other way around. I think the Manos HaLevi says this, I don't remember, who says the other way around, that it means that now that he finds out that she's Jewish, and after all he is an anti-Semite, now he starts talking to her with a Gemara, the opposite of what we're saying over here in the Gemara. Next, by Yomela Esther Amalka Mihuzer, so he says to Esther Amalka, who is this that you're accusing? But Toimer Esther, and she answers, Ish Sarva Oyev Homan Harah Hazeh. A troublesome, an enemy, a person who's troublesome and an enemy, this evil Homan. Now, why such a long expression? Amar Rav Elazar, Malama Chayis Machava Klape Achashverosh, means she was actually pointing to Achashverosh. A malach came and pushed her hand to point to Haman, and therefore she says hazeh. Because we know whenever it says hazeh, marabetz boi v'omazeh. So she had actually wanted to say something about Achashverosh. Now a number of the Mephoshim ask, what was she thinking? I mean, she doesn't realize here she's trying to appease Achashverosh and get him to be on her side, and she's going to go accuse him to his face. So a couple of them before she talk about that, what she means essentially is what she actually meant, and had she pointed to Achashverosh, she would mean that that Haman is trying to harm not only me, but also you. She'd be pointing to Achashverosh, in other words, as if to say, don't think the harm is only to me, it's also to you. But since that could be misinterpreted, and she could lose her head for it, so therefore the Malach pushed her finger over so that there's not even the possibility of her being misunderstood. Different other Mephoshim talk about different possibilities, and there is even an explanation, again, I think from the Manos HaLevi, who says, she's risking her life doing that. But she figured that, you know what, maybe I'll get myself killed. I'll be at least the Gzeder will be bottle, then it's worth it to risk my life for that. how would that be mevatel gzeira? So we talked about before that one of the Mephoshim points out there's a Gemara in Tainis that tells that involving the Romans, and apparently the understanding is that the Persians had a similar thing, that when an important person in the government dies or is killed or whatever, then any pending gzeiras are bottled. Like they consider it almost like it shows minashamayim that it's bad luck, that therefore we shouldn't continue with this. So if she had gotten herself killed, then she's figuring, according to the Menos HaLevi, that at least the gzeira will be bottled on the grounds of that kind of superstition. So she's willing to risk herself for that. The Maharal says another point on it. He says, look, you know, we're trying to save the Jewish people. You don't accomplish the Geula through lies. So she figured in that case, I got to tell the truth, come what may. But the Malach came and pushed her hand away, so she doesn't have to do that. Next, the Pasuk continues, V'amalach kombach amasiv gomer. So the king got up in his anger and went out to the garden. And then V'amalach shtov neginas habisan. Then the Pasuk continues, the king returned from the garden. Now, Maharsha points out, the point that the Gemara is going to focus on is why does it have to say where he returned from? Obviously, if he went out to the garden, that's where he returned from. So, it means, makish shiva l'kima, means the Pasuk is comparing the coming back to the getting up. Makima b'chema, when he got up from the party, he was angry. Ashiva b'chema, when he returned in, there was also something that happened outside that further provoked his anger. He saw in the garden there were Malachi Asharis who looked like people, the tiny, they're standing over there, Athli, Iloni de Bustina, and they're pulling out, they're uprooting or chopping down the trees in the orchard. The Shadu, and they're throwing them down. So that's what got him angry. Omalahu Maya Bitchaya tells him, Maya Bitchaya, what do you think you're doing? Omrule, and they told him, Batin and Haman. Haman told us to do that. So that really aroused. So it's not even like this. He had gone out figuring that he'll cool off from his anger. Then he sees something over there that rouses his anger even more, thinking that Haman gave them instructions to chop down these trees. In fact, one explanation is, in fact, that they meant specifically that Iyun Yaakov points out that the next thing when Chavona says, Gam hineh ha'etz asher asa Haman, Chavona is implying, where do you think he got that tree from that he made the gallows out of? From the garden over here. So that really aroused Achashverosh's anger. So the Pasuk says, Osel Abayse, so the Gemara continues, Osel Abayse, so Haman comes, I mean, Achashverosh comes back inside, so he comes back inside, still angry and even more angry. And as the Pasuk continues, V'homan noifel al amita. Homan is falling on the bed. Now, what do you mean, is falling? Nofal mi bo'ilei. Noifel implies an ongoing thing. It should be nofal. He fell onto the bed, onto the couch over there, and he's pleading with Esther for his life. So, Amar Abulazim, Malamach, B'malach, V'hipilo yalel. Means a malach was throwing him down on her. So every time he's trying to get up, every time he's trying to get up, the malach is pushing him back down. So Achashverosh sees this by Yomam at Omar. So Achashverosh says, "Vay mi dabra, vay mi mosa, oyvei from what's outside in the field, and oyvei of what's going on in the city." Or the other gear said in the printed Gemara, "Vay mi besa, vay mi bara." There's a vay no matter where I go, in the house or outside. Meaning that's why it says, "Vay Yomer Hamela." By Yomer, in other words, we darshin by Omar. The king says, "Vay oyvei, no matter where I go, Haman is causing trouble over here." Is he trying to overpower the queen with me in the house itself? And the pasuk continues, so then Chavona, one of the attendants spoke up and he told about Haman's gallows. So Omer Rav Chama Rav Chanina or Rav Elazar, af Chavona harosha ba'isa etzahoya. Actually, Chavona was also involved in Haman's plot. He have, at the beginning of the Megillah, we have him as mentioned as one of Ahasuerus's, servants. He's one of the ones who was sent to fetch Vashti. So now, how does he know so much about Haman's plot? In particular, Maharshal says, how would he know that's Gavoya Chamishim Amah? It's not something you could easily estimate just by looking at it. It must be that he was actually involved when they told him Yasu Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amah, so he knows the actual height of it. But now that he sees that the table had turned, Kivin Shirosh and the Sky Mahsose, now that he saw it not working out, and Haman is in trouble, Yad Barach, so right away he became a turncoat and switched sides and ran away from Haman's plot and pretended like he's one of the good guys. So there is also the vort, there is the other vort, yeah, the Gemara is not bringing over here, there is the other vort, that it was Eliyahu. But the Gemara over here apparently is not taking that, he was still the same Rosha, but now he switched sides. There is, by the way, I mean, so when we say, so yeah, there is the explanation that because he was Eliyahu, and we say Eliyahu Zohar Latoyv, so therefore we say that, but the other, according to the way the Gemara is saying over here, that it actually was Chavona himself, the vort is he's Zohar Latoyv in part, because he spoke up at exactly the right time. Had he waited any longer, then Haman might have been able to get himself back in Achashverosh's good graces, like this one, Chavona speaks up right away, and Achashverosh is still furious over everything that just happened, then Tluhu Olav. So, yeah. In fact, this is Ian Yaakov says, we say for Gam Chavona Zohar Latov, meaning it's particularly the word Gam that makes him Zohar Latov. Why? Because in the Megillah we have Gam Hineho Eitz Asha'osa. What's the Gam? So like we just said, Ian Yaakov explains that he's saying, also, you just came in from outside where you see workmen chopping down the trees and they told you that Haman ordered that. This is also where Haman got his beam from for the gallows in the first place. So Gam, not only is ordering the destruction of your royal garden, but also he's trying to use it to hang Mordechai, and therefore that's the Gam that makes him Zohar Latov. That's what I'm saying. He's saying that he's accusing Haman that he stole a tree from your garden and used it to build his gallows. Yeah. It may be a lie. I don't know. I mean, we usually say that he took it from Noach's table, but maybe the Gemara over here, maybe at least Yun Yaakov is understanding the Gemara, maybe to be different. Okay. V'hainu d'chtiv. This explains, this is like you have an apostolic in Iyov that describes what happens with a Rosha. The Yashlech Olav, Hashem throws on him the disaster. The lo Yachmal, and Hashem has no Rachmanus on him. Mi yodei b'royach yivrach. From his hand, they run away, meaning even all his hangers on and all of his co-conspirators and everything like Hiyo Chavona all run away from him when they see that disaster is coming on him. So we see that's exactly what happened over here, where even Chavona won't stick up for him and instead pretends like he was like he's the good guy all along. Okay. So the pasuk says Bahamas Melech Shokocha. So the king's anger calmed down after they hanged Haman. Shtei Shchiches Halalu Lama. So why Shokocha? Usually the word in Tanakh, usually when you have the shorta shin chof chof or shin chof hey, whatever, means to calm down, like by a shirku amoyim, by the marble or whatever. Usually it's written with one chof. It's earlier in the Megillah itself. You have kishoich kamach hamalach achashverosh. So why over here all of a sudden with two chofs, shoch chof? So it means echad malkus shel olam ve'echad shel achashverosh. It means two. There was a calmness from Hashem, the king of the world, that he now that the Rosh Haman has been removed from the world, so now Hashem's anger is calmed down, because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, as long as Rishoyim are in the world, then there's anger of Hashem in the world. And when the Rishoyim are gotten rid of, then Hashem, so to speak, calms down. So there's that, the echad shel achashverosh, and one that achashverosh calmed down now that Haman is out of the picture. Ikadami, or some say, Echad Shal Esther, Echad Shal Vashti. Another explanation is both of them refer to Achashverosh, but one that he calmed down in over what happened to Vashti. So previously, Kishoy Hamas HaMalach Achashverosh, he had calmed down a little, but he was still upset all the years thinking back to what had happened. Now that Haman, who we said before is Memuchan, is finally hanged, and therefore he gets his just desserts for also having gotten Vashti killed, so now Achashverosh is completely appeased about that also. So there's a Shachacha about that as well. So now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit to talk about something involving Yosef and Binyamin, and that's going to relate back to something in the Megillah about when we have later on in Peret Ches, or Mordechai Yotze, Mifnei Melech, Bevush Malchus, etc. So this that we're going to talk about is going to relate to that. So the Pasuk says, so after Yosef has his reunion with his brothers in Parshas Vayigash, so the Pasuk says, L'cholam nosam lo'ish chalifos smolis v'gemer, each one of them he gave a suit of clothing, which helped make up for, Mephoshim point out, that, like this, when with the whole thing with the Gviya HaKesef at the end of Parshas Miketz, by Yikru Simloisim, they ripped their garments in distress over what's happened. So now Yosef gave them new clothes to make up for that. And then all of Binyamin Nos and Ragomer, and then the Pasuk says he gave Binyamin 300 silver coins and five, a Chomish Halifos Smolis, and five changes of clothes. So the question is, why is he showing favoritism to Binyamin? Efshar Dovash and Star Bois Tzadik, the Kosher Bois Zaroi. How is it possible that the Yaakov had made the same mistake in showing favoritism to Yosef, and now Yosef is going to repeat the mistake and show favoritism to Binyamin? Now, Marsha points out, you know, there's an obvious difference. Binyamin is his only full brother among all of them. All of them are equally well Yaakov's children. So there's a big difference. Of course, it's logical that he should show a little favoritism to Binyamin, who's his brother from his mother as well. However, Marisha, so there is that. Nevertheless, Marisha says the fact is he's trying now to remove any trace of sinna to them. Like this 22 years ago, they had such sinna to him that they sold him. Now Yosef is trying to appease them and make them realize we're all on the same side, etc. So still, what if they might think, there might be a twinge in their minds that might think, you know what, yes, on the one hand, he's his full brother and he didn't sell him. On the other hand, maybe that's it. Maybe because he's showing him favoritism because he didn't sell him, meaning, in other words, that he still resents us a little bit for the fact that we did. So why is Yosef doing that? And we know, Omer Rabo or Rava Bamachseya, Omer Abchama Baguya Omer Rab, Bishvil Mishkal Beis Sloyim Melas, Shahosef Yaakov Yosef Meshabonov, because of 2 sloyim's worth of Melas, which is fine wool, Shahosef Yaakov Yosef Meshabonov, which Yaakov gave Yosef more than his other children. Now, the whole coat, Marsha says, doesn't mean that the whole coat weighed only 2 sloyim. A sella is about the size of a silver dollar, give or take. It's less than an ounce. So 2 sloyim would be less than 2 ounces. So we don't mean that the whole ksonis pasim weighed less than that. There's a lot of explanations b'chlal what it means pasim anyway. There's a half dozen different explanations among midrashim and mefoshim and all what the word pasim means. One of them is it means the palms of the hands. So according to that, one vote is that it was a regular ksonis like this. We always learn as kids that it was a striped, multicolored coat. But another way of looking at it is it was the same color as anybody else's, but it had extra special material, this melas material around the sleeves where they're close to the hand. So therefore, so that would be the extra 2 sloyim that Yaakov favored Yosef with that. And because of that, Niskanu by Echav, because of that, his brothers got jealous of him. Nisgargal Adover, and one thing led to another. The Yodu Abisena the Mitzrayim, and our ancestors went down to Mitzrayim. Now, of course, Hashem had promised many years ago to Avraham Avinu by the B'ris Ben Absarim that it's going to happen, but still it didn't have to happen just yet. After all, the whole 400 years begins from B'ris Ben Absarim. It didn't have to be that it is now. It didn't have to be in that way. There could have been other ways the Eidosh could have arranged it. It could have been that the Shibud wouldn't have been quite so harsh if it hadn't been for that. So now he's going to do something for Binyamin where his brothers are going to be jealous of him. Why would he do that? Ela, Amar Binyamin bar Yefes, Amar Abelazar, Remez Ramaz. The reason why he gave him the 5 changes of clothes. Now the 300 shekel we'll get back to in a minute, but the 5 changes of clothes, Remez Ramaz Loi, he was giving him without a Remez, Sha'osid Lotzis Mimenu Ben, Shigetsi Melechna Melech Bachamishal of Boshe Malchus. Binyamin is going to have a descendant who is going to go out from in front of the king wearing five royal pieces of clothing. Umanu Mordechai, namely Mordechai, Dichtiva Mordechai Yatzim Lekna Melech Hagem, Vilvush Malchus, Pateles, Vachur, Vateres Zahav Gerla, Vesachlich Boots, Vaaronon. So 5 pieces of clothing, and therefore corresponding to that is why he gave Binyamin 5 suits. Now, Mephoshim asks the question, okay, how does that help though? So Marsha asks the question, okay, still don't you have the problem of the Kina? So the answer is, so Marsha says that, look, first of all, the Gemara is not even addressing the Shlosh Meis Kesef. So, okay, you can understand. Everybody would understand. He is giving Binyamin more because, after all, he is his full brother. But when it comes to money, that they're not going to be so jealous of, Marsha says, because, after all, money is not something that you carry around exposed all the time. You keep it hidden, so fine. You know, he wants to give him a present that he's going to keep hidden, then fine, big deal. But he's giving him Godim, where everybody's going to see that he now has extra suits that he didn't give his brothers, so it's going to look like he's showing favoritism because Binyamin didn't sell him, and showing the lack of that to them, because they did sell him, and that would cause Kina, and therefore the Gemara is saying that he did it as a remnant. Still, Mephoshim say, how does that help? The fact is, the fact is it's still going to cause kina. So there's an answer given, an answer that a couple of them before should give. It's brought from the Vilna Gaon, it's brought from the Bin Al-Itim and others, that the five suits that he gave Binyamin were cheaper. They were cheaper material or cheaper make or whatever than the ones he gave to the brothers. So altogether, it adds up in value to the same as the one suit that he gave each of them, but it was five for the Surenas. In fact, the Torah Tmima brings on an interesting point. In the Pasuk, the word, when it says he gave the suits to his brother, he gave a suit to each of his brothers, it says Khalif Bois spelt Mole with the Vav before the Sof. When it says by Binyamin that he gave him Chomish Khalifois Smolis, there the word Khalifois is written without the Vav, indicating that they were lesser garments, so therefore there's something missing from them. What about the 300 Sloyim? So Maharsha says, okay, they're not going to be jealous of that because it's hidden. There is a different vote on it also that the Gemara tells us in Gittin that if a person sells his Eved Knani to a Goy, and he's not allowed to do that after all, because an Eved Knani is chayev in some mitzvahs, then he's chayev to, the Chachamim are chayev him to redeem him, to buy him back from the Goy, even if it takes 10 times the value. Now, we know the average value of an Eved is 30 Sloyim. That's why we have in Parshas Mishpatim that if somebody's ox kills an Eved Knani or Shifra Knanis, then you have to pay a Knas of 30 Sloyim. So therefore, the average value of an Eved would be 30. Yosef himself was sold for 20. That's a different matter. But anyway, the point is, therefore, and since the Gemara says that a person is penalized in the Rabbanon, he has to pay as much as 10 times the value of the Eved to buy him back from the Goy. Now, they had sold Yosef to the Goyim. Therefore, by rights, each of them should have to pay a knas of 300 sela. Instead of taking that 300 sloyim from each one of them, instead Yosef gives that amount to Binyamin. In effect, each of them has been deprived of that amount. He's penalizing them for what they did, but nevertheless, it's not going to cause kina, because after all, they do realize that they deserve that knas. There's a vote on that's why he gave Binyamin the 300 sloyim, although again, Maharsha is saying that it wasn't an issue for a difference. Reuben wasn't directly involved in the sale, but nevertheless, first of all, they gave him his portion when he showed up, but still, he had told them to throw Yosef in the pit. Binyamin Bechlau wasn't involved at all. Binyamin was much younger than all the brothers, and he was Bechlau at home at the time, but Reuben at least was involved to some extent. Yeah. Okay. Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola. Yeah. Tesvovo de Beis. So we know that in Yemosa Mashiach, when we finish the avoda of refining the good from the evil, when we reach the shlemos that we had before the Chet Hadas, there will still be ra in the world at that point in the first stage of Yemosa Mashiach. But it'll be a point when the ra is completely separated from the Torah. Again, like it was before the Chet Hadas, there was ra in the world represented by the Nachash, but it was separated from the Torah. Only after the Chet Hadas did they get mixed together. Now, then you have the second stage of Yemos Mashiach, the Olam HaTchiyah, the world of Tchiyas HaMesim, which comes after Yemos Mashiach. Then ra will be completely removed from the world. How can Ra exist without any Torah in it? It's a good question. I don't know. I guess, again, the same way as it did before the Chet Hadas. You don't have Shvirat HaKelim yet. You don't have. So how did it exist then? I don't know. I guess there has to be some order. I don't know. Yeah. I guess, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Continuing with Halachas of Shabbos. Whenever you're not allowed to do something in general on Shabbos, in general, you're not allowed to have it done by a goy as well. So here are some exceptions. If it's winter time and you need the heat on, so he gives the example where you would use the oven to heat up the house. So then what you might have is, for example, that a goy might put the cold food on top of the oven and then fire up the oven, because now he's not meaning to warm up the food. He's using it to warm up the house. So yesh matirin. So some say that the thing is mutter, but only if he puts the food there beforehand, not after. And then if obviously you're only doing it to warm up the food, then of course it would be also. Now, yesh oistrim, he goes on to say, even if the purpose is only to warm up the house, then yesh oistrim even that. And then a baal nefesh should be careful about that where it's not so necessary. And then he goes on to talk about different kinds of ovens in that regard. So to put it in modern terms, in other words, you can't generally have the goy turn on the heat on Shabbos or turn on the air conditioning on Shabbos. You have sometimes in certain cases when you have a chol l'shein v'sakona in the house or different other possibilities like that, then you have certain haterim for it. But it's not quite so simple. People sometimes have the notion that as long as you go, first of all, we're talking about if you're telling him going to. If you're hinting to him is another matter, but not necessarily a lot of people have the idea that hinting to him is, you know, that there are ways of hinting to him that are not necessarily so oystahalten. Many years ago, I had a neighbor actually who was trying to hint to his neighbor the way he was hinting to him, which would be mutter, for example, is he's telling him it's very warm in my house, without anything further, and it takes the guy a long time to chapsach that it means, and I need it to be cooled down, and I need to turn on the air conditioner, but yeah.